I need you today. Lord, thank you for the singing and the music. And Lord, you're so good to us. I'm glad that you'll never fail. You'll never fail. You have never, will never. You can't. It's not that you ain't failed me yet. You can't fail me. And Lord, I appreciate you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Please search me out. There'll be nothing to hinder, nothing to hurt. Please forgive me of anything like sin, even a shadow of it. God, I don't want to be near it. I want you to clean me and let me be clean this morning as I give your word today. Speak to every heart, those here in person, those on the live stream. Father, our hearts is broken this morning for some that didn't come. And they promised to come. God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to go to where they're at today, to draw them and convict them of their sins. Lord, I pray, oh God, that every drop of liquor that they drink today, that they get so sick that they can't stand it. Lord, everything they try to do, it breaks apart and falls apart. Lord, I pray that they're set with nothing but to look at you today. Please, oh God, spare our people, I pray. And I'll thank you for all that you do. Please trust me with your word this morning. Lord, I don't want to do it wrong. Lord, help me to preach it right. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. As we look at salvation again this morning, I want us to understand the meaning of salvation. Maybe not by dictionary meaning, but by what the Word of God will show us. I've thought much about the messages that I've been preaching. And I can get up here and do like we have on Wednesday. Wednesday night, we just preaching, teaching to the church, but I could get up here and use some big words like justification and sanctification and glorification, and it would go over a lot of people's heads. They wouldn't have a clue what I'm trying to say. And, maybe even people that's not been saved long wouldn't understand it either. But if I can show you this morning, if I can show you with the Word of God what Christ has done for you and me, if I could just show you. And I want you to listen carefully to what we read out of the Word of God and then apply this to yourself. And I believe one of the greatest examples, of course, is the message of the cross. The message of the cross is what we want to preach to you today, the gospel. If you want a title, it's the gospel, the message of the cross. But to do that, for you to understand, the cross won't mean nothing to you if you don't understand why. If you don't understand what was going on, the cross will just be an event. Well, can I tell you, it's more than an event. It's something that was necessary that you might have eternal life, that you might be changed from who you are and what you are on the inside, that you have a new life, a new start. And this morning, I want you to listen carefully. In Matthew chapter 27 is where we want to start at this morning. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start at verse 15. And we'll read just a little bit, and I want you to listen clearly. You can see it on the wall there, but I want you to listen as we read. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 15. It says, "Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now I want you to pay attention to the start of the message this morning, and that is about the man Barabbas. The man Barabbas is our example, or he's what we are. He's what we were if you're not saved, and he's what you are if you are saved. He's our example. And of all the many things that's in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of them makes sure they tell us about this man Barabbas. This man Barabbas was just a sinful man. And he's an example of every sinful man and every sinful woman that ever was. He's an example of what we are in mind. He's an example of what we are in deeds and the things we do, the things we think, the attitudes that we have. That's Barabbas is our example. That's what we are. If we're going to compare ourselves to someone this morning, I can't compare myself to Christ, but I can compare myself to Barabbas. I can see things in him. Jonathan sung the song about the Lord chasing rebels down. Barabbas was a rebel. Yeah. We're going to find some things. I want to read you some scripture this morning. And I want you to listen. I'm wanting you to see about Barabbas. Turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and start at verse 7. I want you to listen what it says about Barabbas. "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him." See, he was a rebel. How many of us always go against the grain? And how many of us go against the law and go against what's right? How many of us, that's what we've all done. That's how we've lived. We're rebels. It says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in insurrection." Not only was he a rebel, but he was a murderer. Now that's harsh, is it not? When we think about sin, we don't think about lying and gambling and cheating as sins. We think about the big things. You know, we think about murder and things like that. And we can all agree to that that's a bad thing. But can I tell you, we're just right with him. The Bible teaches that thou shalt not kill, correct? You know what the Bible says? Thou shalt not kill. Commit murder. You shall not do that. But Jesus made it even tighter when he said that if you hate your brother, that you've hate your, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder. That's tightening it down pretty tight. That's pretty narrow when you get it down like that. So we can all say here this morning that we're like Barabbas so far. We rebel. Again, what goes on, we rebel against what's right, and then we murder. If we've not done it physically, boy, we sure have done it in our heart. Huh? Have we not? Have you got mad at someone so mad that you said, "Oh, I could just kill them"? Huh? In your heart, you just did. In your heart, you just did. That's what you wanted to do. In your mind. Huh? Maybe you've dreamed about it. Huh? Maybe you've dreamed about getting somebody by the throat because of some offense that they have done to you or done to someone that you love. Is that not true? I believe we can all say that we've been there. All right? And then to hate someone. Have you ever said, "Oh, I hate you"? Huh? Well, the Bible says that you're guilty of murder and the same. But here we sign. We're still in Mark chapter 15. I want you to see about Barabbas. "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them." But Pilate answered him, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and he delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Barabbas is a murderer. He's a rebel. Look in Luke chapter 23. And we see it again. Luke chapter 23. Are you following me this morning? Luke chapter 23. And we look at verse 18. Luke chapter 23, verse 18. It says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man." Speaking of Jesus, "Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's a cold bunch, ain't it? That's a cold bunch. You know, is that not how we live? We could care less whether Jesus lived or died before we come to Christ. Can I tell you that people that don't know Christ today could care less whether he lives or dies? Could care nothing about him at all. They use his name in an oath and blasphemy. We use his name in slang and for all kinds of things, not showing him honor, not showing him glory, not showing him for who he is, that he's God in the flesh, that he is Savior of the world, the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. That's who Jesus is. But that's not how he's taken. And that's not how he's taken. Look in John chapter 18, then we'll get on with the message. John chapter 18, verse 39. John chapter 18 and verse 39. And let's look here just for a moment. John chapter 18, verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. "We therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Look at what all he is. He's a rebel. He's a robber. He's a thief. All right? He's a murderer. That's the kind of man he is. And he was released, and Jesus was crucified. Chapter 19, verse 1 says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him. Crucify him. Can I tell you this morning that the example here is that a thief and a rebel and a murderer was released to go free, and Christ was crucified in his place. That's the entire gospel message and the message of the cross, that Jesus Christ died in the sinner's place and the sinner was allowed to go free. This morning, that's the gospel and the message of the cross in a nutshell right there. Think about that. And I want you to notice the attitude. The attitude that the world has. The world is on Barabbas' side. They're not on Jesus' side. Said, release unto us Barabbas. Let Barabbas go free. Can I tell you that's the attitude of unsaved men and women, boys and girls today, that they don't want to be the one wrong. They don't want to be the one condemned. They don't want to be the one that suffer. Let somebody else do it. Put it on God. God's the reason that I'm the way I am. God's the reason that I'm a sinner. God's the reason that I'm born in the home I'm born in. God's the reason that I'm born without a mommy or without a daddy to raise me. God's the reason my home's busted up. God's the reason I live in poverty. God's the reason that I have all this pressure and depression and mental problems. That's what the world says. So we want to go free, but forget God. Forget His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the attitude of unsaved people today. You may not say that. It may not ever come out of your mouth, but that's what's inside. That's what's on inside. You look at the world today, they protest about everything, but you don't see people protesting for God. They protest against when people stand the godly stand. I just watched on the news that a young man, for reading the Bible with a megaphone in the city streets of our United States just this past week, was arrested because he was reading the Bible at a transgender parade. Now, it wasn't that he was reading the Bible. It was that he was reading the Bible with a sign that said, you must be born again. And the sign and the megaphone was against the law because he didn't have a permit, but they sided with the transgender parade and arrested a young boy with the Bible. That's just exactly what happens right here. Release unto us Barabbas. Release unto us Barabbas. Right. But crucify Jesus. Let him die. That's where we're at today. Now I want you to understand, because we're all like, yet Jesus took our place. Jesus took Barabbas' place. See, Barabbas was guilty. He was already guilty. Can I tell you this morning, if you're not saved, you're guilty already. The Bible says you're condemned already because you have not believed on the name of the Son of God. That's why you're guilty. And the reason that you commit sins, and the reason that you drink and play the harlot or a whoremonger, the reason that you fornicate and gamble and cheat and lie and steal, the reason that you do that is because you are a sinner. That's what you are. You started that way. Now, Barabbas is, some of the history has Barabbas as by his name that he was maybe the son of a rabbi. Maybe had a religious background because of what his name stands for and what his name means. I don't know that. But I know this, he was not a kid, he was a grown man that knew the life he was living, making choices. And everybody in this church house this morning makes choices. And nobody makes you make them choices. You choose them. You choose whether or not to sin. You choose whether or not to do wrong. Can I tell you that God does not lead you to do wrong? God does not lead you to tell a lie. God does not lead you to drink liquor. God does not teach you to cheat and gamble. God does not lead you to cheat on your husband or cheat on your wife. God does not lead you to cuss and blaspheme. God don't do that. Huh? The enemy speaks to your mind and heart, and you yield to him and you make the choice to do it. And it's not habits. It's not habits. You're not sitting here this morning drinking liquor. You're not sitting here this morning committing fornication in the church pews. Huh? You're not sitting here this morning shooting up with some kind of drug. You're not doing that here tomorrow. You're not blaspheming. You know, I've never heard nobody stand and blaspheme in the church house. I never have. Because it's not a habit. It's a choice. I've listened to them blaspheme. And when I've had Cheryl and the boys, I've told you before, I've stopped it. Yeah. They didn't like it, but they stopped it. It wasn't a habit. They hung their head. They shut their mouth. But it's choices. It's choices this morning. And Barabbas had the same choices. And that was the life he was living. He was a rebel. That's what we are before we're saved. We're rebels. We don't want the law. We don't want to obey the law. We don't want to do anything that's right. Huh? But Jesus, the gospel, the message of the cross is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, who put flesh on, left glory and put flesh on, dies in your place, that dies where you ought to die, He dies. Oh, what a glorious message of the cross, and that's why that He pays the debt that you owe. You owe the debt. I owe the debt. But I accepted the payment. And this morning, that's the message of the cross. Got something there to go on the board. Go ahead, Dave. Now, I want you to look at some things here this morning. That's just going to continue as we go. But I want you to understand just exactly how that Jesus Christ took our place. The gospel, the message of the cross. The message of the cross is not that He pricked His finger and sent a little blood. It's not just that He said, okay, make me guilty. No, that He suffered for the sinner and He paid the debt that me and you ought to pay. And He went further than any man could go. And thank God that He died in my place this morning. And He didn't just die there in vain, but I trusted it 50 years ago when He came into my heart and saved me, when I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Him. Hear me this morning. The message, the gospel is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And the message of the cross is that He died in your place this morning. He died in your place. You who should have died. You who should have been, you was condemned. You was the one that was guilty. But He died in your place. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him, because there wasn't no fault to find. He said, never a man spake like this man. That's what they said about Him. He went about doing good. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He called blinded eyes to see, crippled legs to walk. He healed the withered hand. He fed the multitudes with two little fish and five loaves of bread. But He was God in the flesh. And He died there in front of all the world to see. And He died for you. And you look at your sin. We've lusted and we've lied and we've cheated and we've gambled and we've blasphemed God. We've drank and we've doped and we've lived a hellish life, whether it's been in dignity. Some have done it with suits and ties and done it all under the table, and some has run the streets and showed the world, but can I tell you, guilty yet the same. And Jesus Christ died in our place. Oh, what a joy. What a glorious thing to know that somebody died for me. That somebody died in my place. And somebody suffered where I should have suffered, that I don't have to. Oh, there ain't nothing any greater than to know that. That's the gospel. That's the message of the cross, that Jesus died. It is said, this is not in the Bible, but it is said that when Barabbas was released, that he went home. Now, whether this is true or not, I can't tell you. I'm just telling you this is what's been said. It said he journeyed down the road toward his house. It said there in that house was a family, was a wife and children. And there one of the kids was looking out the window, the goatskin flap. I can picture it in my mind as he's looking out the window and said, Mommy, there comes Daddy. And she said, there's no way, honey. He said he was going to be executed this morning. He's not coming. He said, no, Mommy, there comes Daddy. And said that they heard a scuffle at the door, and she jerked the door open, and there stood Barabbas. She said, I don't understand how, why. He said, all as I know is that a man called Jesus died in my place today. And can I tell you this morning, I don't know all the ins and outs of everything, and I can't explain everything, but I know this. I was condemned to die, but hallelujah, this morning, a man called Jesus died in my place, and I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to die. Hey, I got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, and he saved me. Hallelujah for the one who died for me this morning. But he didn't just die for me, he died for you. That's the message, that's the gospel, that's the message of the cross, that he died in my place. He died in my place. Think about that. Think about that. Condemned I stood. Condemned I stood lost. And he come and said, move over, I'm dying for you. Oh, that's Jesus this morning. And that's what he's done for us. When I look here at the scripture, they blindfolded him. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. They spit on him. Huh? But yet he remained silent. Over in Isaiah 53, we're not going to put it on the board, but I want you to listen to me as we read it. Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to keep watching. That's the best I can show you. I want to show you this morning. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Look here what it says, smitten of God and afflicted. All the people are the ones that crucified Jesus. No. No, God allowed him to be smitten, for God had to punish your sin and my sin, and the wages of sin is death, and God smited him. God is the one that smit, and he was smitten by God. Think about that, that the Father would kill the Son for somebody like me and you. It's just, I just have a hard time comprehending that, but boy, I believed it this morning, and it sure set me free. Can you imagine that here Barabbas is chained up, shackled and chained, and when Jesus is the one that goes off to be crucified, that Barabbas is set free and the chains are turned loose? Can I tell you that's what he does to the sinner? That he breaks your chains. You're not in bondage no more. You're not in jail no more. Can I tell you that if you're lost, the Bible teaches that you're in the prison house of Satan. That you're bound, that there's a strong man that has you bound. And many years ago, I stood or set Jerry Rush here in front of the communion table and set him on a chair, maybe up here on a platform, and I tied him up to the chair, and I put a guard on both sides, and one in front and one behind, and I showed that's how a sinner man is. He's tied up, and he's there under guard. Ah, but there's a strong man that does better than that, huh? He comes in and takes them men out of the way, unties them old shackles, and Barabbas walked out of there free. Can I tell you this morning, you're not bound no more when you come to Christ, that Christ was smitten of God that you might go free. And I don't know how more to explain it than this morning. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Huh? Are you hearing me? He died for you. That's the gospel this morning. that Jesus died according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, and it's the message of the cross. It's the message of the cross. Nothing else will save but the message of the cross. Huh? Jesus was mocked for us. Think about that. Blindfolded, slapped. They slapped him. Blindfolded him, slapped him, and said, you're God, who hit you? Blindfolded where he couldn't see, mocked him, slapped his face. Is that not cruel? How many times have we slapped him in the face? Mocking him. Huh? Mocking him and what he's done, and mocking him and what people say about him. That's how we've lived. Before he come in our heart, oh, how wicked we are. Until he comes in our heart. Huh? Spit on him. Man, I couldn't think about being spit on. Man, that'd be hard. That'd be hard to take. And they spit on him. They didn't spit on him. They spit on God. How many times have you spit on God? Huh? How many times have you spit on him? Huh? Mocking him. Huh? Can you see the laughter of the men as they scourged him? But can you see the laughter as they, oh, you're the king. And they platted a crown of thorns. And they placed him down. And they screwed him right down on his head to where the blood would run down his face. All for me and you. All for me and you this morning. In our place. In our place. Are you hearing me this morning? Not only was Jesus mocked for us, he was whipped for us. Scourged. 40 licks with the cat of nine tails, huh? He endured pain like no other. They say he was a weakling. See, the Muslims, the Islam teaches that Jesus could not be God. And who would want a Savior that would allow himself to be killed in such a way? That's what the Quran teaches. Huh? That the Savior would have to be strong and mighty. Can I tell you, there ain't nobody no stronger than what Jesus was. Amen. He didn't fall over on and cry like a baby, but they tied him to the whipping post. And they beat him and they never said a word. He never said, oh. He never said, stop. But he looked and seen you and saw me and said, I'll take this whooping. I'll take this whooping. Huh? Look at your life. Look what's in your life this morning. You know better than anybody else what's in your life. You know what's been done in secret. You know the words spoken, the thoughts made. You know the deeds done, the places that you've went. You know every action. You know it all. And as Christ was there, again that whipping post, and they scourged him 40 licks with that cat of nine tails as it tore the flesh and tore that exposed. And for someone beaten that bad, they usually don't even live through the scourging because their ribs would be exposed and their bowels would be exposed as it would wrap around and pull the flesh apart. And they would, many men that they would do would hold their intestines in their arms as they would die a horrible death, all for me and you. Because sin has to be punished. Huh? Has to be. And Jesus said, I'll do it. See, that's the gospel. That's the message of the cross. Huh? And we ain't even there yet. Jesus was whipped for us and then he was nailed to the cross for us. Huh? Putting the nails in his hands. Huh? He didn't struggle. He didn't struggle. He said, I'm going to go lay down my life. And if I lay it down, I will pick it up again. So as the cross was laid there, he went as he carried the cross. Can you imagine after being whipped the way he was whipped? That they take that cross and put on his shoulders and he carries the cross. He carried that cross because we carry our sins. Are you hearing me? So he carried the cross as he carried our sins to Calvary. Are you hearing me? That's the message of the cross. All people laugh and they scoff and they make fun. Oh, but what he done for me and you. Huh? He laid down on the cross and he drove the nails through his hands. They drove the nails through his feet. They had stripped him of his clothing and they hung him up for all the world to see as they dropped that cross down in the hole that prepared for it. And there they watched him as he suffered and bled and died for me and you. For I declare to you the gospel, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's what the Bible says. And that's what he done for me and you this morning. That's what he done for me and you. That's the gospel. That's the message of the cross. As they nailed him there, as he stood there before them as God and man. Think about that. Sinners on both sides. What a shame. What a shame to die that way. But yet that's exactly how we would die. See, they wrote the song years ago that I should have been crucified. And that's true. I should have been. Huh? See, we don't punish the sins like God punished the sin. We put people away in prison and feed them and they live better than our elderly in nursing homes. And they're checked on. They're given showers every day. They're given food every day. We got people in our nursing homes that lay in their own feces for days and never fixed and never cleaned and not able to feed themselves and the plates put down in front of them, gathered back and they've never eat a bite. No family, not even some or some, and they're just alone. Huh? And we call that justice. You know why? Because we've catered to the sinner. Just like they cater to Barabbas. The world is catered to the sinner. Are you hearing me this morning? And Jesus died for the sinner. Oh, can you picture that? Are you seeing it this morning? You know, I noticed that some of you can't look at the screen no more. You start looking and you can't watch it. Your heads are bowed, your heads are hung, and you look at me and you're trying your best not to look at the screen. Why? Is there an offense at the cross? Is there an offense with you and the cross that you can't look? Is there an offense with you and your sin and your life that you can't look at what he's done? Huh? But yet Paul said, I glory in the cross. Yet Paul said, I glory in the cross. Can I not look at that today and glory in that he's looking at me through the eyes down through eternity and seeing me, a lost boy? Can I not glory in to know that he took my place, that I'll never do that, that I'll never die and suffer as God turned his back and turned the lights on off of in heaven, that he hung there in the darkness, that he would suffer like that? Oh, I'm going to glory in the cross, and I'm not going to hang my head. No, 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 no. I ought to hang my head if I'm an unbeliever, but if I'm a believer, I'll glory in the cross that Christ has rescued me. Hallelujah. This morning, he's rescued me and my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you the reason why. Because my sins are gone because of what he done. Huh? But our lives are so far away from walking with Christ that we won't even look at it. I know we say we're sanctimonious, some of us maybe, and say, well, that's not really him. I ain't going to look. Well, that's as close as I can give you. Huh? But you still can't look at it. Because you know you. You know you. All that just makes me, it ought to make you sick. To know that, but then you ought to glory in it. Huh? We still okay? Think about it. That Jesus died in our place. He died that I might live. Huh? Think about it. But then if you notice, one of the screens there is an empty tomb. For he didn't just die, but he arose for me. That's the gospel. That he died according to the scripture. That he was buried according to the scripture. That he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the message of the cross. Can I tell you? That's why men and women went to jail. It wasn't over preaching about God. It's preaching that this is the only way. Because it offends you. I'd have never thought so many would have been offended on a Sunday morning. Yeah, you're offended. Jesus said they'll be offended. He said offenses will come. But he said to be offended because of the cross. Huh? Because we live our life selfishly. We live our lives for ourselves, but yet the Bible says you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's what it says. And see, you can say that and read that, it's okay till you see this. And that's how he paid it. Huh? That we ought to feed the flock of God, who he purchased with him. We read it there in Acts this morning, Brother Rick. We read it. Huh? But we live our life selfishly. We live our life the way we want. We go where we want, do what we want, say what we want. Come to church when we want. Pray when we want. Read our Bible when we want. Tell somebody about Jesus when we want. And it all's okay until we really see reality. And then we're offended. Because this messes up my lifestyle. This messes up my way of thinking. Huh? But can I tell you, we are to glory in it. That somebody loved me that much. See, listen to me this morning. If you're unsaved here this morning, God is angry with you today. The Father is angry with you. He was angry with you yesterday, and he's angry with you today, and he'll be angry with you tomorrow if you don't get saved. He's angry with you. That's what the Bible said. God is holy and pure, and you cannot come to God by anything you do or say of your own workings. God knowing this, but yet loving his creation, that means loving you, put on a robe of flesh, walk down the ivory steps of glory. Hear me, born in a manger, grown up to be ridiculed and make fun of, God in the flesh, to be lied on and mistreated for me and you, to go yonder to the garden and take the weight of the world of every man's sin from Adam to the last man will ever be born, and go there to judgment. And though they say, I find no fault in him, the crowd says, crucify him. And he die in our place. Are you hearing me this morning? And because of Christ, there is but one mediator between me and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And when God looks down upon Mark, God saw a sinner. God saw a sinner that wasn't fit to save. He saw a sinner that he was mad at. He saw a sinner that he was angry with and was going to condemn to hell. But Jesus grabbed a hold of me with one hand and reached up a nail-printed hand to the Father and said, let's get together. And he reconciled me to God and put God's hand then in my hand. And because of Christ, he has forgiven me. For the Bible says that I'm forgiven for Christ's sake. He don't forgive me for my sake. He forgives me for Christ's sake. And I'm reconciled to God. as he reached up that hand and got a hold of the Father and reached hold of me, an old dirty filthy sinner, and put us together and put me into the family, that now I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to hang my head at the cross. I'm going to glory in what my Savior done for me, and that you might get glory out of every breath I breathe, every step I take, everything I say, every move I make. I want him to get glory this morning. For he deserves it all. For he died for me this morning. And I'm asking you this morning, will you not believe that? Will you not trust him this morning? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, you hang with me, it says, who gave himself for our sins. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Huh? Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to what the Bible says. Huh? Are you hearing me this morning? Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Where? Nailing it to his cross. Are you hearing me? He nailed it to his cross. What was against you is nailed to the cross this morning. Huh? 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Are you hearing me? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Huh? How about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16? It says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Huh? How about that? How about the Gospel of John, chapter 12? Cheryl, you go to the piano. The Gospel of John, of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Clark, come get us a song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. John chapter 12 and verse 32 says, and I, Jesus speaking, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Can I tell you, because Christ died on the cross, that he draws you. He draws you to him. Every one of us this morning, he's either already drawn you or he's drawing you now. And he's drawing on your heart and on your mind. And he's showing you that you're a sinner. And then he's showing you that he's a Savior. And he's promised to draw you, and the Holy Spirit come just to convince you of sin and righteousness and judgment. Just to show you that you're a sinner, that you have no other way. And he draws you, and he wants you, and he's calling you to come to him in faith believing, because you cannot save yourself. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For that's why he came, to save you. And I've tried the past 4 weeks to show you as plain as I know to show you, and this morning to show you, that Christ Jesus died in your place to save you from hell. We preached last Sunday on hell. That's where you'll go without Jesus Christ. It's not church membership. It's not being baptized. We're going to baptize some that's done trusting Christ. But you're not saved by being baptized. You're not saved because you was raised in a church. Old Colin come last Sunday, raised in church. His family's here. Love his family. Known him all my life. Good, great people. Top shelf, all of them. Top shelf people. But he come because salvation wasn't in them and the church. Salvation was in trusting Jesus Christ personally. I was raised in church in a preacher's home. That didn't save me. Mark had to repent and come to Christ. And you must do the same. You must do the same. Me and Brother Rick Childers was talking this week. was raised in a Christian home. Took the church, went to church. But he didn't know. He heard, but he didn't know. He saw others living a life, and he said, well, you got to be good. That's what you told me. And all I saw, well, you got to be good. There's a difference. There's good people, bad people. You got to be good. Well, you can't be good. Because you really don't want to be good. Just at certain times. And you couldn't be good if you wanted to be good. Then, when he took the Bible and he explained to Brother Rick that Jesus was God. And that God put on that robe of flesh and died for him. Oh! Now I understand. Yes! That's what I want. I want to follow him. And I ask you, so I've tried my best to show. I don't know that I can show you any simpler. Are you saved this morning? I mean, are you truly saved this morning? I'm not mommy saved, not daddy saved, not papa and mama saved, not preacher saved. There's people that believe, that's got a belief in their heart and mind right now. Well, I prayed with the preacher, and if that preacher's in heaven, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's the dumbest, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. It ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. Have you come to Christ and been born again that he's changed your life? Not that you reformed your life. You can only reform for a little while. Then old ways slip back in. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm asking you, just like you sat there this morning, are you saved? You on live stream this morning. You've listened, and some of you listen. Some will go back and listen. I'm asking you, are you saved this morning? Do you know for a fact that you're saved? If so, they ought to be yeses coming up all over the comments of live stream. Are you saved this morning? So, well, preacher, I was years ago. Well, let me tell you, if you got saved years ago, you're still saved. But did you really? What's in your life now? Can we slip, by the way? Sure, we can take an exit sign the wrong way. Sure, we can get a little cold. Sure we can. That happens. That happens. But you look at me this morning and you hear this morning. You can't lay out for 50 years. Cuss and swarp and drink and fool around. And be a Christian. That's not Bible. That's a lie of the devil. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Let me just go ahead and read it to you. You hear me this morning. I'm not preaching works. I'm preaching Christ. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, and such were some of you. That's what a bunch of us were. That ain't what we are. That's what the Bible says. I'm just going to stick with what the Bible says. And if I die a dinosaur, I'll die a dinosaur. But I'm not going to change the gospel for you or anyone else. That the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. And the message of the cross is he done it for you. your seat even now and come and kneel down. Say, God, I'm a sinner. Save me. I believe on you. Save me. He'll save you this morning. And if you are saved, there ought to be enough gumption in you to stand for him, live for him, and praise him. Huh? Don't run with the world, but run with Christ. Huh? Because of what he's done for me. For what he's done for me. Huh? Oh, praise the name of Jesus for what he's done for me this morning. For he was bruised for my iniquity. He was chastened of God for me. He was whipped for me. And he died for me. Oh, hallelujah, that Christ died for me. But very early in the morning on that first day of the week, they went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. And he said, he's not here, for he's risen. Come and see where he laid. Ah, he's alive. And he's coming again. And we get to go with him. Oh, what a joy. But are you saved this morning? Young man, young woman. Old man, old woman. Don't matter who you be this morning, young or old. Rich man, beggar man. Poor man, thief. It don't matter. Huh? You know Jesus Christ personally. Let's stand together right now. If you don't know Christ, will you come? Sing right now, right now. How about it, neighbor? Will you come to Christ? Will you come to Christ for the message of the cross? That he died in your place. The gospel. That he died, was buried, and rose again. The message of the cross. For you, huh? Whatever the need may be this morning, you come.